So starting at verse 1 to verse 9. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people in the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. I'm going to invite our friend James to come and show us a film.
Yeah, sure. We're just going to... So every now and again at HDR we have a film night. So I don't know if everyone has been here for a film night, or maybe a couple of people not. But basically what we do is we get together, we show some clips from a film, we chill out and watch the film, and then we talk through a couple of the themes or a couple of the things that might have come up in the film, and and kind of, you know, see where God's leading us with that. So today it's Low Sunday. Did anyone know that? It's Low Sunday. Has anyone heard that before? So the idea is that, so like after Easter and the kind of jubilation of joy of Easter, you have kind of this Sunday afterwards, and it's meant to be Low Sunday. It's kind of like a more like melancholic Sunday, and everyone's a bit sort of feeling a bit down after the sort of like emotional heights of the week before. And I was gonna do the film Hacksaw Ridge. Does anyone know that film? Like, so it's a war film, but basically I couldn't cut enough out. Like, it just wasn't right in terms of cutting it. So I thought, seeing as it's a Low Sunday, we'll go for like a fun film. So we're going for the film Cool Runnings. Put your hand up if you've seen Cool Runnings, just so I've got a kind of like, oh man, there are people that haven't seen it. So I've actually got two DVDs. I've got another DVD back in Birmingham. I couldn't get it down because, the train cost 30 quid and it cost $2.99 to buy a new DVD. So if anyone wants to watch Cool Runnings, then you're very welcome to. I've got a spare copy that I can loan out to you guys. So literally the end of the service, come. Anyway, so basic Cool Runnings, very sort of amusing film. It's about a Jamaican bobsled team, so really bizarre. What you're going to see is the first sort of bit as to why there's a Jamaican bobsled team. They're going to miss all of the kind of like brilliant bits where they've got to collect the money, they've got to fly out to Calgary, they've got to practice the bobsledding. There's a great montage which is right up there with Rocky and Mulan in terms of all-time great montages. I'm afraid you're going to miss all of that. So we're going to go from right at the start of the film, and we're going to go to all the way to the end of the film. So we're going to watch about 20 minutes in total. So sit back, just chill out, have some popcorn, and enjoy the 20 minutes, and then I'm going to come for talk for a couple of minutes about a couple of the themes in that film. So if we're all good, Nico, we can go. And there's popcorn as well, so make sure you grab some if you want some. So there's a lot in that film that we could talk about. There's sort of scenes of like different people working together, coming together in a team, sort of like the different parts of the body of Christ, or you saw it there, being true to your identity. There's a lot of ridicule. They get ridiculed. They get sort of really despised early on. So, could talk about that. Dealing with a flawed mentor. Their mentors are cheap. It's kind of hinted at in that clip. I like as well the kind of two ways they go. At the start, they're kind of a bit complacent. They're probably a bit lazy. And they don't try hard enough. And then after that, they kind of try so hard, they become uptight. And they kind of choke. And I think that's sometimes something we could even do in our Christian lives. We could be either lazy and complacent in our relationship with God, or sometimes we could even be too uptight and so concerned with our religion that we kind of shut our hearts. and our minds off from what God wants us to do and the ways in which the Spirit is moving. So those are things we could talk about, but I really thought what I'd do is talk about some of the themes that come up, really in that final scene. And I was wondering, has anyone heard of the kind of concept of the Olympic Spirit? Is that, if I said the Olympic Spirit, is that something that people come across? It's quite sort of like, you know, it's often talked about. And actually, there's even an Olympic Spirit Prize that's given out. And it's given out to kind of exemplars of this Olympic Spirit ethos. And the Olympic Spirit Prize is it something that says that even though everyone competes to win, sometimes an effort that falls short of winning, an effort that fails, an effort that is derailed, or an effort that isn't actually good enough, sometimes those efforts can actually be greater than the success all those athletes crave. And when De Ries is tripped up in the qualifying race for the 100 metres, his hopes, his dreams, his destiny, it's all derailed. But then what he goes on to do in the bobsled team is actually greater. The team faced hostility and ridicule, but they gave it everything they had. And that led to that great moment where that kind of display of Olympic spirit, as they sort of carried the sled over the finish line. And, when they came off that track, the Jamaican bobsled team, they may have felt like, you know, what they had to give hadn't been good enough. They may have felt like they'd failed. They may have felt their best effort had been derailed. But because of that Olympic spirit that they showed, that moment of inadequacy, of failure, of setback, it is transformed into something quite great. And I hope you'll kind of all certainly clean this, transforms this really great moment. And so it's actually turned into something greater than if they'd succeed and won that Olympic medal. And in the Bible, I think we often see inadequacy, failure, setbacks. We see people in the throes of these events, and yet somehow we see God turn these moments of inadequacy, failure, and setback into something greater. So let's look at the Haggai passage again. Haggai, Haggai, Hagios, yeah, no. Haggai, good old Hags. God's people had failed to obey him. The city of Jerusalem had fallen into the hands of their enemies. And the beloved temple had been destroyed. A generation later, God's people returned to Jerusalem and they rebuild the temple. And in Ezra, we hear how the older people, so the people who had seen the glory of the first temple that had now been destroyed, the temple they'd now be rebuilding. We hear how they wept when they saw how much smaller the foundations of the second temple was. They were so upset by how underwhelming it was that they actually cried. It's a story of inadequacy, a story of failure, and a story of setback. Yet in spite of all this, God gives a prophecy through Haggai and says that though this temple may seem like nothing, be strong and do not fear. My spirit remains among you. I will fill this house with glory. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. When they saw how pathetically small the new temple was, how tempting do you think it would have been for them to put down their tools, to give up, to stop building? But ultimately, God can work all things into something greater. Imagine maybe being that small boy in John 6. There's 5,000 hungry people. And you're that small boy, you have 5 loaves and you have 2 fish. The inadequacy of what he had. The scale of the problem around him. But he gave what he had. And Jesus took what he had and turned it into something great. Last week was Holy Week, and we remembered Jesus' trial and crucifixion, perhaps more than any other event in human history. This event most clearly displays utter human failure. The failure of the authorities to uphold justice, the failure of the people to recognize the Messiah, the failure of friends to stay with Jesus. A mission that started with God speaking from the heavens of his love for his son at Jesus' baptism ends with Jesus, the most loving man that ever lived, crying those earth-shattering words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It ends with that most loving man being lynched to death. Outwardly, and by every possible human measure, this is a story of nothing but failure. But as theologian James Cohen says, God took that failure and turned it into success. God took nothing and turned it into something great. We may face crippling fears of failure, of setbacks, and sense of inadequacy. Sometimes these fears beat us down. They make us feel like there is no point in trying. They make us feel like there's no point in moving forward. But what we learn from Haggai, from the small boy, and from the crucifixion, is that God is able to turn the present and future into something greater than what has passed. Just like the people of Jerusalem and Haggai, I personally am at a moment of real change in my life. And I think it's fair to say that actually as a church, we are also at a moment of real change as well. And it is really hard to look forward when you're weighed down by feelings of perhaps you didn't give enough, feelings of failure, feelings of setback. But Haggai gives us a real prophecy of encouragement, and I think it's something we should all look to personally as we move forward as a group in the coming months. Somehow, through God's good and perfect will, against all feelings and all understanding, God can make the glory of this present house greater than that of the former house. And so, to close, we're kind of going to watch another clip. It's a story, it's something on YouTube, and it's quite similar to Cool Runnings. This one's sort of from the Olympics in 1992. And I think it's a really powerful clip. If I had to choose one of my, you know, sort of favourite or sort of most powerful Olympic moments, I think I'd choose this one. And it is a moment of failure, a moment of setback. And what I really love about it is how honest this guy, Derek Medmond, I love how honest he is at the end. That setback was real and enduring. And even now, he doesn't downplay how devastating it was. He says, you know, I still wish I could have gone on to win that Olympic medal. But despite that personal ambition that he still feels, I think that actually the sense of Olympic spirit or whatever turns this moment into something much greater than what winning ever could have been. And so we're going to watch this clip. I think it's a really powerful clip. I think it resonates on several levels. But we're going to have a watch through this, and then we'll just have a look at that passage again just to close. Scene where the father puts his arm around him is just so powerful. So Lord, just thank you that you are able to work through our failures, to work through setbacks, and to work through our inadequacy, Lord. Thank you that you're able to make the future house better than what has passed. And we, Lord, we just pray that we'll be excited as we move forward together as a church and as individuals, Lord. So, just to repeat the passage. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will make, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen.